This is The Herons, a little-known clan, part of an archive broadcast, The Nature of Things, originally aired on August 6, 1988.
A recent occurrence has brought back to mind a fact about nature that always amazes me. Here's a story. Early one evening, I got a call from a woman who reported a young heron wandering about in her dooryard. She thought that it was a young great blue, but her description left some doubt about that. I told her I'd check into it as soon as possible. The call came during the dinner hour, but it was near dark before I could make good on the promise. It turned out, as I expected it would, to be a nestling green or green-backed heron. Apparently it had fallen from its nest in a large spruce tree in the side yard of a funeral parlor right in the heart of Marcellus. Hardly the spot where you'd expect to find this wetland and creekside denizen. With Nine Mile Creek not far off, and with large spruce trees providing suitable secluded nest sites, this kind of anomalous behavior was not a surprise to me. There are spots in Marcellus Park where I have seen adult green herons flying in and out of the tall evergreens. These small herons, an adult would measure less than 16 inches, including its long bill, long neck, and stubby tail, more often are found nesting along the edges of marshes or larger streams in shrubs or trees. Often the nest is 30 or 40 feet in the air, but I have found several in shrub willows 6 to 8 feet above the ground. By the time I was able to get the bird to someone who could care for it competently, it was admittedly in poor condition. But to put in a word of support for wildlife rehabilitators, they do their best always to nurture and revitalize any creature that comes their way. In this case, the rehabilitator was a local veterinarian, the best possible situation for this unfortunate tyke. There had been calling hours at the funeral home, and this heron was really the topic of conversation by people as they left. It brought home the fact that the heron clan, many people pronounce it herring, though it has no G, is a mystery group to most people. In fact, a high percentage of people are unaware of anything but the great blue, which they normally call a crane. In the interest of broadening our exposure to nature, let's briefly review our local representatives of the heron clan. The great blue is the largest local heron, measuring about 38 to 40 inches from bill to tail. Although normally seen singly, it is actually quite gregarious, nesting and roosting in large groups in some secluded swampland or woodland. In flight, note how the long neck is folded back, the head resting on the shoulder. This immediately distinguishes this large heron from the storks, cranes, and ibises you may see mixed in with herons in the southern states. Perhaps the two most interesting things about the great blue are its ability to stand statue still awaiting suitable prey, and the dexterity with which it snatches minnows, tadpoles, frogs, or other aquatic life from the water. Because of their food habits, great blues are not much favored by fish hatchery men or anglers. The green heron is only a third the size of the great blue, but it too is an efficient angler, frequently preferring not to wade, but to stand on floating snags or lily pads, where it can stand and peer into the water in search of food. The most solitary and mysterious members of the heron tribe are certainly the bitterns. Both the American bittern, which appear to be twice the size of the green heron, and the least bittern, noticeably smaller than the green heron, are streaked in color to blend in with the marshland vegetation. With the green heron, they share the habit of freezing, body feathers compressed, neck extended, and bill pointing skyward. In such a position, while almost indistinguishable from their surroundings, they can still look you directly in the eye. This points out how these blue birds can hunt with their bill parallel to the water. Their eyes normally point forward and slightly downward, giving them binocular vision where they can use it most. Most celebrated of the heron clan are the egrets, spectacular white birds, possessing showy filamentous plumes, which they use for courtship and territorial displays. We see them most often after the breeding season, when the birds tend to spread out from their nest sites. Usually seen hereabouts are the common egret, not quite as large as the great blue, the snowy egret, halfway between American bittern and green heron in size, and the cattle egret, a bit larger than the green heron. There are a couple of other species of white herons seen here in the fall, but They, along with the interesting and almost unknown night herons, will have to wait for another episode of The Nature of Things. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.